The recording has started. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. This is the ALAC Executive Committee conference call on Friday, the 25th of January, 2013. The time is 13:04 UTC, and we have a small agenda, but it might take the whole hour and a half. So let's get going right away, and let's start with the roll call and apologies, please. Gisela, you have the floor.
Yes, Gisela here for the transcript. Welcome to everyone on today's call. We have Olivier Crétin-Leblanc, Evan Leibovitch, Carlton Samuels, Julie Hanna, Tijani Benjima, Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdon Orr, and Hong Sui. From staff, we have Matt Ashtiani, Heidi Ulrich, and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. And a transcript of this call will be made available within 48 hours, so 2 working days from the call. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Have we missed anyone by any chance who is on the call and whose name we have not called? I don't hear anyone shouting out, so let's get going. And welcome to Hong, who will speak to us in a moment about the planned Chinese multi-stakeholder forum in Beijing. In our agenda, first, we do have to go through a review of our action items from the 22nd of January 2013 ALAC meeting. I am surprised we don't also have to look at the action items from the, our last XCOM call as well. Perhaps we might have to look at those as well. But let's first look at the page which has the ALAC meeting action items. And we'll just look at the open action items. And the two open action items relate to the WCIT, the World Conference on International Telecommunications, and starting with Olivier, myself, to draft a statement on my experiences at the WCIT. That is still in progress, and as long as this is in progress, the second action item, which is Evan Leibovitch and Jean-Jacques Subrenat to lead the Future Challenges Working Group on a more extensive statement, that is in progress as well, is awaiting the first completion of the task. I should be finished within 7 days, I think. I'm reaching the end of that report. Whatever time I have, I spend writing and trying to write something that actually makes sense and that is diplomatic enough so as not to ruffle too many feathers whilst at the same time making the points that it needs to make. So the newly assigned action items, there are three of them. The first one is for Heidi Ulrich to work with the chair of the Who Is Working Group to set up a webinar on Who Is. How is this progressing? I see Carlton has arrived as well, so maybe I should ask the chairman of the Who Is Working Group, Carlton Samuels. Hello, Carlton.
I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Carlton. Yes, we hear you twice. Over.
Okay, I'm just cut out of this one here. I'm having a little trouble here with the... I don't know why.
And now you're hearing yourself.
And now...
Shall I... Okay. Having been carbon copied on the correspondence, I understand that this is in progress at the moment. So Carlton and Heidi are currently working together to set up a webinar on Who Is. I know that Carlton has provided the details of the dates when he would be available to lead this, and a list of invitees is currently being drawn together. The issue of Who is to be added as an issue to be addressed by the at-large capacity building working group. That's in progress as well, because the at-large capacity working group has been put in motion, and Salah, who is currently leading this, is going to hold a meeting of the leadership group of that working group. I don't know what you call it, program committee,
steering committee, Olivier. Steering committee.
What is it called? Sorry.
Steering committee.
Steering committee. Oh well, program committee, steering committee. It's all. Anyway, it's in motion. Thank you. And after that, there will be a meeting of that working group. So this issue can be added to the agenda. The third action item is once the Rules of Procedure Working Group provides its work to the ALAC, the ALAC members will have 2 weeks to read through the work. There will then be a single-purpose call for the ALAC to discuss the work, as well as discuss how and when the ALAC will vote on the new Rules of Procedure. That's also in progress. Any comment or question regarding these action items?
Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead, Carlton.
I'm having some difficulty with my machine here, so I'm on audio now only. I can't see the Adobe Connect room. I don't know if you would have noticed, Olivier, there was a question. There was a question. This is Carlton for the record. There was a question about what the process was for the output from the Rules of Procedure Working Group. And I think there was some concern, at least I have raised the issue, that the ALs were not involved we would not have a review process of the work of the working group. And I tried to explain on another list how it was really architected and what the process was going to be. I think for the record, you should just go over that again and so that it's down so that everybody can see it. I would recommend that.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Do you think that a message should be sent to everyone then to explain what the next steps are with regards to this?
Yes, I would suggest that happen. I know we're just repeating ourselves here, but it's important for us to get on the record.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Carlton. That's very clear. And so let's make this an action item to send an explanatory message to the ALAC as to what the next steps are with regards to the Rules of Procedure Working Group. If I could, because this needs to be clarified, and I know that Cheryl Langdonor is leading the work on this, could Cheryl work with staff or could just staff draft that note as to where we are going from here? And we can send that over to the ALAC list.
Cheryl here, Olivier. Yeah, I'm happy to do that. But I don't appear to have any ability to get internet connection, which would include emails, while I'm down here at the lake. So it won't happen until Tuesday, my Tuesday.
Your Tuesday. Well, the work of the Rules of Procedure Working Group has not finished by Tuesday, or is this the week of the end?
No, I wouldn't worry about
it'll
that.
It'll be meeting after that. I'll just point out, however, that for the record, that this is hardly a groundswell of concern. It's Ovoid, which has an agenda.
This is Carlton. Again, I can't see the voice. I want to agree with Cheryl that there's no groundswell of agenda, but I like to be forewarned, forearmed, since I'm forewarned. And let us just nip it in the bud, because it's like the second time I'm seeing something that says the ALAC is a rump group that is running away without any input from the ALSs. Which to me is slightly disingenuous because of the way the ALAC is structured and what happens with the representation and how the representation goes. And I think in this case, because it's the Rules of Procedure, let us go the extra mile and lay out the process again. I just thought it was important to put it in.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Now we have a queue with Tijani and Alan. So first, Tijani Benjamin.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Tijani. Please
okay.
Go ahead.
Olivier, I want to say that this is Tijani for the record. I want to say that the notice that you, that will be sent to the at large to explain the next steps for the rule of procedure must be accompanied by the last draft of the rules. We will not send them a next step announce without the rules already drafted. So I propose to wait till we have the final draft and then we send it with the next step notice so that people can read and know what will come after that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, thank you. I guess I disagree with Tijani. I think the ALAC is mature enough that we need to tell them what is coming and not just when we have the document. There's still a fair number of steps left until we have the finished rules of procedure, but we're going to have moderately little time, and we do not want to be accused of, you know, of not making the information available in a reasonable time frame. We have said explicitly that we want input from the ALSs and from at large to be funneled through ALAC members. So I think we have to alert them to the process and make it really clear. I don't see any harm in doing that. And I don't think we should wait to put it in writing. We've already said it several times. We've said it in Toronto. We've said it on meetings. I think we need to put it in writing and make it clear what the process is that we're following so people are aware and up to it.
Okay, thank you, Alan. I think that I do agree with Alan and Carlson and Cheryl that there is currently some dissent with regards to these rules of procedures, them being rules for insiders, by insiders, for insiders. I think this needs to be nipped in the bud in that we're dealing here with disinformation. This is couldn't be the furthest from the truth. And therefore, just an informational note, letting everyone know what's coming up next on this, with perhaps also an announcement that the final draft will soon be made available, can be sent out. In addition to this note, when we will send the draft out, we can again repeat that note just to remind everyone if they've missed it the first time around. And that does happen from time to time. Now, of course, as we know, the ROPs will be reviewed by the ALAC. I don't consider them to be the final, you can't touch this rules anymore. I think there might still be some review and polishing needed. And I know that the Rules of Procedure Working Group itself, reading the rules today, I've seen several small typos, errors, and things like that. I know that the ROP Working Group itself will be polishing it, giving it, as Cheryl would say, a toilette. And we need to get maybe some more toiletting done. I'm sure some of our most versatile and most thorough
analysts
will be able to give it an additional toilette in addition to what's in there. Alan, your hand is up again.
Yes, my hand is up, and forgive the dog barking in the background. makes it hard to concentrate, though.
You will have to translate what the doc says if you want to transcribe.
All right. With regard to the interest expressed in changing the rules of procedure regarding how the director is selected, Avery, who is the only one who has been vocal on this to date, again, in the chat on the ESADT meeting yesterday at the end, thanked everyone profusely for letting her speak, despite the fact that she had tried valiantly to get become part of the committee and was not allowed to. I would like to ask on this group, is there anyone who is aware of anything which could be construed as not allowing someone to participate in one of the drafting teams?
Nope.
No, there is not.
That is what concerns me, because I have been shuttling between these three groups, and I can't ever recall anybody who's volunteering for work. I don't remember ever at-large group.
Did we put out a call? Now, Avery is on the ALAC list.
Yes, we put out a call.
No, please, let me finish. So I don't know to what extent we put out a call on the at-large list. We certainly made it known on the ALAC list. Cheryl, as the person who oversees this, I think you need to call her on this in a private email, copying perhaps the chairs of the drafting teams, and ask her to document exactly who was it and when who said she was not allowed to join. Because it's going to be raised again and again as an issue that she tried and we didn't let her. And I think we have to address that. Privately, yes, but I think we need to address it.
Well, no, you understand.
Cheryl,
Go ahead.
I do understand. But I would suggest that the open nature and the fact that it was deliberately populated with a minimum of regionally balanced representatives, which were from the region, the ALSs, and that, yes, there was ALAC members on it as well, but it was the rules of procedure, and there was a call made for that. All of that goes out, we'll remind the community, apparently mostly unconcerned with the exception of Avery, that, of course, we also said very clearly that these were minimums and that the work group was open and all comers were indeed welcome, providing they were willing to work, and that, to our knowledge, there has been no impediment pushed in anyone's way in terms of contribution to the drafting teams. There is no perhaps formal listing of her as a member, and that may, I suppose, be the issue, but the absence or presence of one's name on a wiki page I would have thought was hardly the point here. We're going to just keep hearing more and more of this, because this is a universal suffrage agenda that Avery, excuse me, is currently on,
I understand all that.
I don't think it needs to be private, Alan. I think it needs to be dealt with in the response that we'll be putting out. So if staff can draft something along those lines, drag out the dates of the calls, where the calls went, etc., etc. By calls, I mean call for membership. Then that's fine. In fact, the ALAC rules of procedure are the business of the ALAC. It need not have, in any way, shape or form, have gone further than the 15-person ALAC. The ALAC, I think quite wisely, took it well beyond that. It actively encouraged regional representatives and ALS members. We've had people dropping in and dropping out. We do, however, have a minimum formal set of representatives to whom any casting of vote, should a vote ever have been called for, if a consensus was not going to be a clear 100% consensus, their voice would be what counted. And I think that can be done publicly rather than privately, but don't expect Avery to get back in a box. She's not going to at the moment.
No, Cheryl, I understand all that, and I have no problem outlining the process. When we summarize the results, outlining the process is fine. But she's already put it in a blog entry. She's done it in other public forums. So I think privately we would like to say, please explain just who was it who said that.
No, I don't think we should do it. I'm sorry, this is Carlton. I am agreeing with Cheryl. It should be public. It's already public.
No.
Therefore, we should ask the question publicly.
Perhaps, but I really think that on the assumption that she's right, somebody at some point told her, no, she can't. I want to know who it is, and I don't want to ask that question publicly. I'll be quiet if everyone says I should, but I really think we should put the onus on her to document who refused or stop saying it.
If I can
That's my opinion. I'll shut up now.
Alan, thank you very much. If I can jump into this before I give the floor to Tijani. The note which she has put on the chat in that last call, I think I remember vaguely that I quickly responded to that. In that respect, I could actually, as the chair of the ALAC, I could email her and say, you know, why are you saying this sort of thing? I'm surprised you're basically saying that. Would you be able to let me know who's told you that you're not allowed, or document the fact that you're not allowed?
That's what I'm asking. Either she has something that we're not aware of, or she doesn't have anything, in which case, either way, I think we should, you know, bring it into the open, not publicly, but give her an opportunity to present one or the other.
Can I say something?
I don't want to spend too much time on this. Carlton, Tijani has been waiting first. So first Tijani, and then you, Carlton, you can close the debate on this. Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. I want to remind you that on the wiki page of each drafting team, there is a table in which there is the names of the members of the drafting team. And anyone can add his name, and he will be included by the staff in the mailing list. So I don't think there is anything who prevented Avri to be inside one or several of those drafting teams. Thank you.
No, but I think it's important to get her to admit that.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Next is Carlton.
This is Carlton. Thank you, Olivia. Carlton, for the record, I wanted to just add one small piece, which is very critically important to me, because we raised it early. One of the objectives of the rule of procedure is that we were going to try and harmonize, where necessary and possible, the rules across the regions. And that is, it was for this major objective why we requested to have regional input and balance in the working groups. And I don't want us to lose sight of that, because we started on the proposition that the output from this working group was going to be input for regional rules of procedure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. So let's just be clear on the AI. A message will be sent out by staff about what is happening next on the rules of procedure. I will send an email to Avri asking her how did she come to the conclusion that she had to thank us for allowing her, as if it was a privilege, to be on this call, when in fact those calls are all open, and the call for membership was sent for everyone to become a member.
Remember, she is on the ALAC list. It's not as if we forgot to do it on some public list.
No, that's correct. So I'll just ask her, and we'll see what the answer is. That's really it. And I don't want to spend any more time on this subject when we do have Hong, who has been waiting very patiently, and I do apologize. The first part was supposed to take 10 minutes, but we often have discussions and debates that start immediately with those action items. So I invite you all to move to agenda item number 3, and that's the planned Chinese multi-stakeholder forum in Beijing. It's a proposal by Hong, and I thought it would be a good idea if the XCOM could have Hong on the line. So Hong, you could provide us with details of what this Chinese multi-stakeholder forum proposal is in Beijing, and what is it that you wish to, how do you want it linked, or do you wish to have it linked with the AP Rallo activities in Beijing or not, et cetera, and what the procedures are with regard to it. And so, Hong, I thought that the first thing, you could just basically give us a background on it, and what the plan is, because the information I have so far is off an email and no direct discussion on it. So Hong, you have the floor, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Olivia, for adding me here. I'm very much honored to join you. I guess I'm slowly and specifically coming here for agenda item 3. I do trust you're going to excuse me after that. What is the idea of this Chinese forum? Now we change the name from Chinese Multi-Stake Forum into a simple one. It's going to be called as a Chinese forum. That's because AP Relo is going to have a multi-stakeholder policy forum, and we wouldn't like to confuse with that. And of course, we wouldn't like to distract the attention for that very important AP Relo multi-stakeholder policy meeting. A little background here. The very beginning was the AP Relo local engagement program in Beijing. AP Relo actually is going to have the very first general assembly after so many years in Beijing. We're going to use this opportunity to bring many large structures from this region to Beijing. It's very important for AP Relo, and there will be a meeting series, just like the one in Toronto for North American Relo. For the local engagement project, at the very beginning, I thought it was a small one, and I want to involve the 7 Chinese-speaking at-large structures from China mainland, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. But when I talked with the at-large structures in Beijing and the other stakeholders in Chinese community, I was kind of surprised by their enthusiasm in having a meeting completely in Chinese language. And everyone told me they have been disadvantaged by ICANN for many years. They can only listen and can hardly speak because of the language barrier. And there's no Chinese translation or interpretation available simultaneously at the ICANN meeting. And for that reason, they can only watch the others, the English speakers, to go to the public forum to express themselves so friendly. So I guess since this meeting in Beijing, this meeting in Chinese language, very much stimulate the Chinese community to join ICANN, to participate in ICANN processes. So this is the background. And then I believe, although our at-large structures, the 7 Chinese-speaking at-large structures, and also AP Relo, will be very important stakeholders, since it's still under the umbrella of AP Relo meeting event in Beijing. Very important to this, we need to engage the other stakeholder groups, because the other groups are interested in this meeting, especially the Chinese domain name industry, the registries, registrars, new GTLD applicants, e-commerce businesses. They're actually interested in this, and they like to dialogue with the user community. And fortunately, we also get the support from the Chinese government. To my preliminary knowledge, there will be some high-level officials from Chinese government, such as the president of Internet Society of China. And many people know her. This Madame Hu Qiheng will be joining this meeting. And also the Minister of Industry and Information Technology, MIT, will be invited. He has not confirmed, but probably he will send his deputy to the meeting. And also the director of the State Internet Information Office. If we use a metaphor, there's something like the Internet Czar in the United States, Mr. Wang. He's also invited, and probably he will come or send his deputy. So it seems it's very much supported, strongly supported by Chinese community. What we can very usefully dialogue right now, right here, is how to more effectively connect the at-large community, and not only AP Relo, that's already strongly connected to this event, but also ALAC, the our large community generally with meeting. What I'm thinking, the general idea probably is that it will be a meeting in Chinese language, but hopefully it could be in the main room with the translation available. It is a new one, and especially we want the Chinese leaders, such as the board members, the CEOs, the stakeholder groups leaders, the leaders from the constituency would be available in the room and listen to the request or question or comments from these Chinese participants. So we kind of would the scenario in ICANN. The Chinese will be speaking this time, and ICANNer will be listening. Since we're going to invite several high-level officials, so I feel ceremonially we need to invite the CEO, the chair of board, and I hope Olivia, as the chair of ALUG, would also be giving an address to showcase a large community. And I don't know whether Holly would like to speak on behalf of AB Relo as well. The seven Chinese-speaking at large structures will be co-hosting this event from the perspective of civil society. So this is very much multi-stakeholder now. Olivia, you want to go on to talk about subjects, or you have questions? Olivia, back to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Hong. It's Olivia for the transcript. Thanks for this great introduction of the overall plan of what you're putting together. There were a number of questions which came to, I think, several people, but specifically I'll ask the questions that I had when you just described the whole process here. The first one, you mentioned the Chinese language, and I understand that the whole meeting will take place in Chinese, but it is my understanding that there will be Chinese interpretation available for all of the sessions which are usually interpreted, in addition to all of the other interpretations. So might not be an issue, because everything is going to be interpreted in Chinese. But one thing you mentioned there was that you were looking at this first to be linked to AP Relo. So I wasn't quite sure how, whether this you wanted this to be an AP Relo event, or whether this was just going to have, as I see, many ALSs from AP Relo. And the other thing you mentioned was the main room, which immediately got me to think, hang on, that's something which I guess you need to deal with the meeting team, that somehow comes out of the realm of at large.
Oh, Olivia, okay. These the questions, comments. Oh, thank you. For the meeting request, oh yes, indeed, I guess Heidi and her team will be taking care of that. This is the AP Relo event. What I can present here is that I hope this is a part of the AP Relo event in Beijing. That's because there's many categories of AP Relo meetings in Beijing. I trust Cheryl or Holly can sufficiently present on that. For example, there will be AP Relo multi-stakeholder policy forum. And this one is for local engagement, to engage the local people. This is also a purpose for AP Relo's meeting. And also, it's been organized, it's been discussed at the AP Relo bi-week conference board for preparation of Beijing meeting. So I trust it is under the umbrella of AP Relo meeting series over that week. I'm not sure whether I answered your question, Olivia.
Thank you, Hong. It's Olivia for the transcript. I mean, I have one main concern, which is that the multi-stakeholder forum that AP Rail is putting together has a similar agenda, perhaps a slightly different audience, but a somehow similar agenda. So I'm a little concerned that we end up with two sessions that would effectively have a similar agenda and that would, I wouldn't say compete against each other, but certainly duplicate each other. The other concern is the mentioning that you wish this to be in the main room, and I note from what Heidi has put in the chat that the main room is in very high demand, and that really, for anything to happen in the main room or even in the GAC room, this usually has to be an ICANN-wide agreed part of the main event. I know for sure that the SOs and AC chairs are asked by the meeting team a few months before the meeting about the subjects that would be populating the main room discussions. And usually, I mean, very rarely is a single SO or AC able to run anything in the main room. It would usually be a case of a cross ICANN thing. So that's the concern that I have on this. I see Alan has put his hand up. So Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, I guess I have one other concern. And it's related to that, but a different one. Hong said that we're planning to invite some senior officials, and I don't think that can be done outside of the auspices of ICANN proper. You know, we're stepping on protocol toes, and certainly that I don't think that should be done without, you know, if this is going to be viewed as an ICANN-wide meeting, which it sounds like the intent, I think we have to be very careful about where invitations come from, making sure that the counterparts on the ICANN side, and Hong referred to the president, CEO, and the chair of the board, are going to be available for it and are willing to. So, this sounds like an ICANN event. Now, the idea has come from Hong and the AP Rello organizers, but I think it has to be funneled into the meeting arrangements group and essentially have them own the meeting, because it's just fraught with so many problems if we class it as an AP Rello meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I'm just as a parenthesis, we can hear some heavy breathing. I'm not quite sure who that is, but they might be breathing a bit too close to their mic.
So it
does sound a little strange. If you could, it's still breathing, still there. Who's holding the mic close to themselves?
Cheryl,
stop breathing, everyone.
This is Heidi. Cheryl, that might
you
be
might
you.
Wish. So Cheryl, you might wish to. Okay. All right. Thank you. I see Tijani and then Hong. So Tijani, please, you have the floor.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, Alan, I understand very well your concern. And I think that it must be well prepared. But I do think that it is better to have it in the site ICANN. It is so that it will be an ICANN meeting. It can be well prepared by contacting, by the ICANN meeting staff contacting Hong and the local organizer to see how to arrange that so that there is not a conflict, any conflict, any problem, any protocol problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Back to you, Hong.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for all the comments and concerns. They're all very much enlightening to me. Let me address them one by one. The first one, whether it's the duplication of the multi-stakeholder policy forum of AP Rello. Oh, the answer is no. Well, even though both of them are multi-stakeholders, there will be they will have a different topics, orientation, and focuses, and they will be for a different audience. For this Chinese forum specifically, they've addressed some subjects that's most interesting to the Chinese community, as the Chinese community's concerns. They want to read that ICANN. The subject has been drafted as a new GTLD, so it seems this is the most recent, relevant, and multi-stakeholder topic. And under this ambit, there will be three subtopics. One is the ID and variance issue. this is coming back. The variance issue is is very much critical. It is haunting Chinese community, and it's a very big issue front evaluation. It's the process going on right now. To dispute resolution and to delegation. This is very critical. For the non-Chinese speakers, this issue is very much complicated. It's not so interesting. This is boring. You need to learn Chinese character in order to understand this issue. So I guess this variance issue has been raised across the stakeholder groups in Chinese community. The second one, they want to address the issue of the trademark. It's very interesting. Actually, the people from Chinese Trademark Association will be joining the meeting. They also learned that United States government and trademark holders has raised this issue many times to ICANN. They want to express the Chinese concern to ICANN about trademark protection and overprotection through the domain name system. The third subtopic will be a couple of application or implementation issues, such as internationalization of registration data. And, of course, the new privacy law is going to be implemented in China from this year. So these are the three subjects. They are, they primarily address the concerns from Chinese communities, different from the topics completely from the AP RELO multi-stakeholder policy forum. As far as I can see, there's a 10 topic has been drafted for that forum. I guess there's no duplication at all. that's one issue Olivia raised. The second one is about the room. Olivia kindly addressed that the main room is in high demand. Heidi also kindly commented that, oh yes, we're aware of that. and also the timing is a big concern for us. Things that we want to put it in after the welcoming ceremony on Monday. If the welcoming ceremony could finish by 10, then this is our Chinese forum could start from 10:30 to 12:30 in 2 hours. Why in main room is because it can accommodate more ICANN participations. More ICANN participants, and also after the welcome ceremony, those Chinese officials who had addressed at the welcome ceremony can wait a little bit and join this Chinese forum afterwards. So it's easy to arrange. Of course, I really understand the difficulty of that. Probably I should talk with Heidi for the details. Alan raised the issue about the protocol, the official presence. Thank you very, very much for raising that. I'm not so sure about is the protocol, but I can set up a new meeting bureau. probably we can submit the application through that to see whether these very busy people could be kindly available. But anyway, I hope Olivia or at large friends could be present to show you support to Chinese community. And thank you very much for Tijani for kindly suggesting all the solutions. Well, back to you, Olivia.
This is Carlton. Can I say something? I'm not on the Adobe Connect.
Go ahead, Carlton. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Olivia. This is Carlton for the record. I have listened to Hong's explanation of why she thought this meeting was necessary, and I doubt if we could second-guess. they, especially with respect to the GTL program, the three main issues that she mentioned as of heightened importance to the Chinese user community, especially at large structure. I would not second guess them at all. I have a feeling that she would probably know more about these than I would, and so I am willing to accept and go along with those things as necessary for this meeting. I am a little concerned that we do not we show support for the Chinese at large structures and their desire to communicate with each other and to get a face-to-face meeting going. I don't know. It's a huge country. Maybe they're not all around, clustered around Beijing, so this is, might be an opportunity for them to get together face-to-face and speak about the issues that are important to them. I am a little concerned that because of the logistics, this might not be seen as something that we support, because I certainly support that. The issue of the protocol is the one, to me, that has the greatest concern. And to the extent that Hong says that they have issued invitations as a group of Chinese owls to Chinese government officials, then I am willing to accept that they understand how that works in their area of the world better than I would. The issue now becomes, how do we harmonize this in the meeting space, in under the tent? I'm not so sure that just sending an invitation to ICANN staff is going to work. I think what we need to do, and might I suggest, that if we believe that the objective of the meeting are important to our colleagues in China, then we find a way to at least demonstrate our support for those issues. And if we believe that there is mediation required for acceptance in the ICANN tent, then we concentrate on seeing what we might do to make that possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlton. I'm now getting a better idea, and thanks for lifting the different subjects to be touched on, of the event itself. Yet I'm still concerned with regards to the logistics of it, specifically the issue with the main room itself, post-ceremony. I think usually this gets booked very quickly, very early on. I wonder if I can ask Heidi, because staff might have already had a tentative meeting schedule showing some of the main lines of what rooms will be used and when. Do you have something like that, Heidi?
Olivier, yes, this is Heidi. Yes, we received a very tentative block schedule already, and I can see that Monday the hall room is fully booked. Hall room 2 is fully booked, all Wednesday as well. Thursday, ballroom 1 is booked through the public forum.
So the only thing I could suggest, thank you, Heidi, that what I can suggest, because I do realize the size of this is rather large, and I wonder also whether it's not something that's a little bit large for at large to chew, since it is something that is ICANN-wide. If it's out of the usual at large room, it is something, it's an event that would be ICANN-wide, SO and AC-wide. If the global stakeholder engagement team should be should be involved with this as soon as possible. Have you gotten in touch with the global stakeholder engagement team yet, Hong?
Yes, I talked with Sally briefly. Well, she's generally supporting the idea. I guess she needs more details from the Chinese side.
Okay, thank you. Because I think that this, the very size of this, due to the fact that it would involve high, government officials and the president of the Internet Society of China, and there is some concern here with regards to the protocol. The GSE team are the people that would be able to make it happen if it was possible to make it happen. For us to try and make it happen just like that would be a tough one because of the fact that we don't have exclusive access of the main room or exclusive access to any of the large rooms. We have to fight for our rooms with everything else in, with all the other SOs and ACs as far as both interpretation and, the location is concerned. So the earlier you get in touch with the stakeholder engagement and perhaps provide a formal proposal to her, listing exactly what you've told us here, I think that's perfect overall. We've got the scope, we've got the length, who will attend these questions, basically, that we've asked, then we can have a lot more chance to have that happen. Because at this point in time, I'm very concerned that if At Large asks for a room, or the ALAC asks for a room, it's 99% chance that we will be told no, because of the fact that we haven't involved the GSE team, and because of the fact that it would come from an at-large point of view. It wouldn't come as an SO and AC-wide point of view. I see Alan and Hong have put their hand up. So Alan first and then Hong.
Thank you. I guess I'll reiterate what you're saying, but from a different slant. Given the list of topics that Hong has identified, a couple of things. First of all, if we're not already addressing those topics in this meeting in a way that is friendly to Chinese, ICANN has a big problem, and someone needs to alert them to that. But if we are going to address these topics one way or another, it's not only the CEO and the chair of the board that needs to be there. There's a whole set of staff resources that need to be around talking on those particular subjects or listening on those particular subjects. So that just reinforces for me that this is an ICANN issue. That doesn't reduce the importance of it. I'd like to think that we're already covering these issues in a focused way that will be very accessible, to Chinese speaking and everyone else listening. I don't know that for a fact because I'm not privy to the agenda. So I think the issues are very important. I think they're a little bit outside of ALAC scope. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Hong.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And all the kind helps and ideas you offered to me was all very much appreciated. I now fully understand. Probably is not following the protocol to let ALAC to raise the request to ICANN. So probably I should talk with the ICANN Global Engagement Project to see whether they could arrange this. And what Alan said is very important to me actually, whether ICANN is sufficiently address all these issues efficiently and comfortably to Chinese community. Many people have criticized ICANN's insufficient outreach and very few applications from Africa, from Asia, even though there's 300 applications, and from Chinese community around 100 applications. presented in the in this new GTLDR round, that still many communication problems. And what is the most important thing is that Chinese community believe ICANN does not understand the need of Chinese community. So this is not only for Chinese to understand the ICANN process and policy. It is for ICANN to understand Chinese. For the various issue has been addressed for so many years, and ICANN is still doing the things that's not so much comprehensible to Chinese community. That's the primary purpose of this meeting. All right. So I'm very grateful. Back to you, Olivia.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Hong. I'm trying to put together an action item at the moment from our discussion, which has been very helpful. And what I would suggest as an action item is for yourself to engage the global stakeholder, the GSE group, Global Stakeholder Engagement Group, which is headed by Sally Costerton, in order to send them your proposal, that what you basically just told us there, but a written proposal. I guess this has to be done as soon as possible, because time is really of the essence, since I know that rooms get booked very, 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 very early on. So if you can engage Sally on this, carbon copying Heidi, which therefore would make it would make us all because Heidi would let us know what's going on as well. I understand it does include some at-large structures and the local community, which is important. But at the same time, also to find out with global stakeholder engagement if there are any parts of your proposal that are already dealt with by other sessions that have already been planned. I understand several sessions have been planned, and so there might be some parts of your proposal which are already dealt with. That's the concern that I hear from people here. And once this is done, also the third part of this action item would be for GSE to be able to let you know if there are indeed any rooms available for the logistics of this. And the fourth part is to do with the actual protocol for inviting the guests. Since we are dealing here, from your list, we're dealing with high-ranking guests, so they need to be treated accordingly. Does that sound okay to you, Hong?
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you so much. Now it's very much clear to me.
Olivier, it's Alan. Can I make one comment?
I wish to say something. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. I'll make a comment which you might consider either humorous or sad. As I've worked around the world, no matter where you go, people will come up to you and say, we're different here, and cite something, and it might be a food they eat or it might be a cultural issue, and almost invariably what they're describing is not unique to them. And, you know, the details are different, and it may be more or less important, but rarely are these things really unique. As Hong just went through the list of why it's so important to do these things, it strikes me as with relation to intellectual property and rights protection, the IPC and the business communities will say the exact same thing. It's not an issue of we're speaking the wrong language, but they will say, we've been yelling and screaming at ICANN for years now, and you've ignored us completely. You don't understand. And with regard to variants, I and many other people have been telling ICANN staff for many years, you can't ignore variants. But they did. And now we're scrambling to try to do something at the very last moment. It strikes me as these are real problems in China, and the language certainly has contributed to it. But interestingly, there are real problems everywhere else. And, you know, we're dealing with an ICANN which hasn't been very responsive to some communities. It said you may consider that either humorous or sad, but I can't help but note it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. And next is Tijani.
thank you very much. For those who think that this is not an at-large event, it's an ICANN, it's a wider event. That's right, it's a wider event. But since Hong, who is the CNSU member, council member, she chose to implement it through her at-large perspective. I think that we need to be to be the leader for this event, and we did before. We did for the ICANN Academy, even if the Academy is not at large at all. It is an ICANN Academy, but we were asking for the room. We were planning for the meeting. We did everything, and it is seen as an initiative from at large. So I think that perhaps ALAC should ask Sally or should speak to Sally about this event. Rather than a single person or Hong without her head of at-large people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I'm not quite sure I agree with you on this, and I'll tell you why. I have seen the response there is when a project is presented initially as ALAC, even if it is a project that would actually help everyone throughout ICANN, and I've seen that in the ICANN Academy, which for a while was really penalized by the fact that originally it was called At-Large Academy. So this is why I welcome the ALAC's involvement in the panel and in the organization of this in some way, but to actually have ALAC make an official request for a room which would then make this session appear under the banner of At-Large of ALAC is something which I think might actually not help. It might hinder progress rather than help progress. I don't know how others feel about this.
Olivier, it's Alan. Having worked with the GNSO extensively, yes.
Okay, thank you, Alan. So that's the position. Oh, I see that Hong has just dropped, unfortunately. Ooh. So Tijani, yeah, I would urge caution on that. It's not entirely clear whether this would be helpful or not. And ultimately, I think that we will know a lot more with the AI. The action item, which is effectively for if Hong carbon copies Heidi on her request, then we will be completely synchronized in the process, and we can always lend our support on the points or provide more information on the points if there are any additional questions from global stakeholder engagement. The drafting of the proposals is something that she has to do anyway. The finding out if parts of the proposal are already dealt with in other session is very important. So we certainly, any proposal that duplicates a session that already exists and that we are unaware of and that we would be unaware of because it's global stakeholder engagement and the meetings team that would know at this very point in time. If there's any duplication, it's got very little chance of succeeding. If the logistics are not there, if we cannot get a room, there's very little chance that something will happen. And also making clear that we do respect the protocol for engaging and inviting VIPs because there is a protocol, and I would imagine that in China, doubly so, since there are very high-ranking government officials that will be coming to this meeting. So, now I'm not quite sure, is Hong back on or?
Oh, yes, I'm back. I'm sorry.
You are back. Okay. So, are we clear on this?
Oh, yes, very much clear, and thank you very much for everyone, kind suggestion, comments, and feedback. Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate that you managed to come and talk to us about this, and I hope that, you know, you can get the ball rolling very quickly on this. That my suggestion would be to do it as soon as possible, because from the discussions I hear at SO and AC chair level, we have been asked about the usual questions, you know, the subjects that we would like to touch on in Beijing, et cetera, or that our communities would like to touch on. So having GSC and Sally Costerton notified as soon as possible with a proposal is, you know, will make it a lot more likely for it to happen. And I do hope that it happens, because it sounds like an excellent plan.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much, Hong. And we are now going to continue in our next part. I realize Rinalia, who is from AP Ramo, is not on the call. I gather that she will be listening to this recording. And, of course, the transcript will be made available within a few days. And, of course, we've got the action items. If you do have any additional questions, and please do update me and Rinalia as much as possible, and Heidi, of course, so that we're all completely synchronized. Communication is the key.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Hong. And so now we're moving to the policy advice development page, which is unfortunately not as exciting as the forum in Beijing, but we have to do those. And so we are going to look through the recently adopted ALAC statements, the statements or endorsements currently being developed, and the currently open public comments. I think we are pretty much well aware of all the recently adopted statements, and I've already thanked those people who were holding the pen on those. Does anyone have any comments to make on those recently adopted statements? Agenda item number 4A. I don't see anyone. So next, the statements or endorsements currently being developed. The ATRT2 candidate endorsement is currently being voted on. I do have to thank the ATRT2 group team that has made the selection of candidates very much on the very hard work that they've managed to do in a very short span of time. I see Alan has put his hand up. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, since this vote was structured so that we can't see who voted, I'm not quite sure why that was done, but for whatever reason, or accidentally, can we have a report from staff on is the voting progressing, and will we have a problem meeting both quorum and getting results?
Thank you very much, Alan, and I guess Matt will be able to let us know about this. If you need a few minutes, Matt, we can go through the other recently adopted ALAC statements.
It's okay. I actually just looked this up a little while ago. The reason why...
Go ahead, Matt.
Can anybody... Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
The reason why it's anonymous is because it concerns individuals. So in the past, whenever a vote has been with specific individuals, it's been anonymous. I can actually tell who has voted, just not how they voted. And as of right now, 14 out of 15 members of the ALAC have voted.
Oh, wow, that was very fast. My goodness. That's probably one of the fastest votes ever. Bearing in mind it was open just 24 hours ago. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, do we know who hasn't voted? Are they likely to?
Yes, this is Matt for the record. I know who hasn't voted, and I sent them a message. This individual usually votes, so I don't think it'll be an issue.
Okay, because it would be nice if Rinalia can get the results to the selectors earlier rather than later. As all of us know, computers and networks break down just the wrong time, so if we can get it in a day earlier, that would be nice.
Tell me about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alan. And no doubt there will be a safety mechanism. If I don't manage to send this to the selectors, then someone else will. And staff, I think it will be staff that will be providing these details over. But, yes, there could be a tsunami or whatever else.
is after, in the computer, just a tsunami in the form of a coffee cup emptying itself on the keyboard. Who knows? Let's move on to the next one, the statement on the WCIT outcomes. I've mentioned on this this earlier. It will be, it's in progress, still coming soon. The report on the GNSO Working Group on Consumer Trust, Consumer Choice and Competition. Evan and I need to work on this. Evan, is there a time when we could perhaps either later on today or possibly over the weekend we can spend a few minutes on this?
Hi, Olivier, it's Evan. I think the onus is on me. You've made some comments that I need to deal with, and I'll commit within the next 48 hours to make some proposed edits I think you'll be okay with, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Alan?
Yeah, could I be copied on those also?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, and I think that we're working on the wiki page, so we'll
tell
them copy if there's anything in email as well, yeah.
Okay, is it the wiki page pointed to by the policy paper? By the policy page?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, then I'll look.
Correct.
Don't worry. Don't bother then.
Okay, next to the report on the FICWHOIS PDP working group. And that has been transmitted, I believe, hasn't it? Let me just check final solution. Yes, this has been transmitted over. And this has been sent by myself over to the chair of the GNSO. To the secretariat of the GNSO, and that has been forwarded. I have received the confirmation that has been forwarded over to the working group. I do have a question on these. I see Alan has raised his hand again. Alan?
You can go ahead. Go first.
Well, thank you, Alan. The question I had was with regards to the times when I sent such correspondence over. Whatever is being sent out, whether it is staff sending it to a public comment or whether it is myself sending a correspondence to another working group or a chair of a working group or another part of ICANN, I usually carbon copy staff, and this is then put in the archives. This is put on our correspondence page. Do you believe that more should be done to publicize the fact that this has been filed by copying the ALAC list, for example, or do you think that this just would add to too much fluff? Because there is an extensive amount of correspondence that goes out there. And Alan, you may speak.
To answer that, the ALAC was clearly aware of it since the ALAC voted on it, and I presume the announcement of the success of the vote went to the ALAC. I presume it does. Maybe it just goes to at large announce or something. I don't know, but I don't think it's. I don't think it's necessary to copy the letter. People know where to find it if they really want to. I don't think we need excess copies of that.
Okay.
Okay. My hand was up for a different reason, though, and not directly related. It's related to the statement. There are other statements coming in right now, and there is strong opposition in some areas on the privacy issue. And I'm pushing to try to get it explained because I don't really understand the substance of the objection. But we really need to make sure that the ALAC people who are nominally on that list, on that working group, actually participate when we start talking about these subjects. Otherwise, I'm going to be a lone voice.
Thank you.
And we know how effective a lone voice is.
Okay. Thanks very much, Alan. That's noted, and we do have several members. If you do have a list, just email them as well, just to remind them if they are not on this call.
Okay.
Right, so let's move on. The currently open public forums, consultation and secure notification process, no statements, at large white paper on future challenges, reply period closes on the 1st of February, so we will know, I guess, in our next XCOM call
about progress on this. The DOPCAT cross-ownership removal request, no statement. The amendments to Article 6, Section 2.3 of the ICANN bylaws, DNS, Root Server System Advisory Committee, no statement for the, yes, no statement, I guess. We all said we agreed with the process, so there was no need for a statement, a specific statement, especially when we are busy with a lot of other things. The preliminary issue report on translation and transliteration of contact information, no statement. The consultation on GTLD delegation and redelegation performance standards, and the same with the CCTLD. Cheryl and Alan are to prepare a draft joint statement. Have you had any chance to look at this? No from Alan. Okay. I noticed that Evan has put his hand up, possibly for an earlier statement. Evan, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier, and you're absolutely right. It was in some of those things you'd gone quickly through before, and specifically just a small update on the Future Challenges Working Group. One of the things that we may be taking on soon that I can see some support from the working group on is the issue of continued failures within the contractual compliance department. This is something that was, in fact, one of the first agenda items that the FCWG was considering. Garth has been knocking his head against the wall, and I think what's going to be happening soon is an attempt not to allow for the personalization of Garth's ongoing battles with the compliance department. It is possible that the FCWG may choose to get involved in that area and try and escalate and turn this into an at-large issue as opposed to allowing ICANN to simply as a Garth issue. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Do we have, are we all on the contract, is it on the compliance department newsletter? Yeah, because there is a newsletter that is regularly sent out. I think that we do need to keep close track of the ongoing ongoing problem that Garth has with the compliance department. But we should also look at it with a balanced view as well, in that there might be some things that we're not aware of or some developments that we're not aware of. Perhaps having an update from compliance would be a good thing, and perhaps having a discussion between with compliance and Garth would be a good thing as well.
Actually, Olivier, this is Evan again, I would in fact make the suggestion, and like I say, this has to go through the working group to get churned out a bit before you're called into it. But I suspect what's happened right now is that there's been a poisoning of a personal relationship going on, and in order for proper communications to get involved, it may be necessary, in fact, for you to make a phone call to the compliance department, or failing that, the CEO, to try and address some of the issues we're dealing with. I mean, clearly, there's one of the primary things, in fact, is a breakdown of communications. So the updates are necessary, and part of the problem is we're not getting any, at least of the kind that's been requested. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Can I just ask, traditionally, has this been an RAA working group matter, or has it been entirely separate?
I can't speak whether or not it's been dealt with in RAA issues, because those were specifically dealt with contractual negotiations. Compliance issues are assuming the RAA has been agreed to at a certain revision level, and then dealing with the enforcement of that RAA. So it's my understanding it was not part of that, and in fact that's why it was part of essentially one of the two original agenda items for the Future Challenges Group when it formed.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. So I think you're absolutely right with regards to the personal relationship part of things, and we do need to institutionalize the discussion by making it as a working group discussing things with compliance rather than a person being in touch with compliance. So let's work on this. Let's have, when you're ready, I have no objections to the Future Challenges Working Group working on this, apart from a small concern that it might just be diverting its attention from future challenges when compliance is not a future challenge and compliance is an actual operational matter. But that's just a point of view.
That's understood, Olivier. If there was a better place to deal with this, I'm all ears. Right now it was put there essentially for lack of a home elsewhere.
Okay, thank you. If anyone else has a point of view on this, could they please follow up by email afterwards after this call? Right, let's move on. The last of our currently open public comments, the IDN Variant TLD program, there has been an email sent out to Edmund Chung to find out if a statement is necessary. The closing period for the initial comment period is the 8th of February. I have put some pressure on Edmund to come back to us with an answer, yes or no. There hasn't been a reply yet, we will just have to work to see if we don't get a reply soon enough. The concern I have with these IDN issues is that we always end up sending a statement in the reply period, which sometimes makes us send statements that are very pertinent indeed, but that are not replies. So they don't get treated in exactly the same way as other statements do that come in the first part, because no one actually replies to the statements that we send out. It's just one of these things. I know we're able to send whenever we want, but it just seems that it adds more stress onto staff having to always do things at the very last moment and very last minute. Okay, let's move on. Let's continue and let's have a look at the agenda item number 5, the at-large meeting schedule for the 46th ICANN meeting in Beijing. And I hand the floor over to Heidi, I guess, who can take us through the points she wanted to take us through.
Okay, thank you, everyone. This is Heidi. I will see if I can go quickly. Can you all understand me or hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
fine.
So,
I think it's fine with everyone else.
Okay, I have put the schedule, the at-large meeting workspace, in the chat, so we can go through quickly the schedule. I did so on the ALAC call, so you may not need to go through the whole session to some points. We currently now have 25 meetings, so that was up to the additional two were an outreach evaluation meeting for the SARP, hosted by the new GTLD working group, and also a capacity working group. That will be on Monday morning. So, again, right now, Olivia, would you like me to go through the entire session week, or would you like to start focusing on agenda items?
I don't think we need to go. We've already gone through the entire week on the ALAC call, as you mentioned. Is there anything, and we are running out of time for this call, so is there anything that you wish to point us to specifically?
No, not in terms of meeting schedules, the actual meetings, but we do now need to start working on the agenda items. Olivia, you've been in contact with me about a few of them. I've been in contact with the NOMCOM staff support, so there'll be 30 minutes where Yurio, Cheryl, and Adam will be coming to see ALAC. That's going to be Tuesday during one of the ALAC policy sessions. And then I think we just need to start working on some of the agenda items. We can create pages for the questions to the board, et cetera.
That's correct, Heidi. That's a well-oiled mechanism, and I guess you can build it based on our previous meetings, and we will have to send out the requests and try and populate those pages with the questions that we want to ask and the subjects we want to discuss. I do have one point to make with regards to our Sunday agenda, and the agenda is where we have back-to-back meetings all the time. I hope that perhaps you might have to air some of the agenda a little bit. I note that when you have a meeting between 1500 and 1530, and then the next person at 1530 to 1400, to 1600, etc., we always lose 5 to 10 minutes in between changes of personnel, and we always end up being late. And this is something that Alan has mentioned on the ALAC call as well. Many have said so. Is it possible to try and work out if we have to lose 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there so as to not be pressurized for time as much as we usually are?
Very good point. Yeah, 2 points on that. One point is that meeting staff, you understand that, and actually they have now put in block times for certain days during the ICANN meeting, so we need to submit our meeting form going to those blocks. And then secondly, yes, in the agendas themselves, I will allocate more time so that we can incorporate that time needed to switch the meetings.
Okay, thank you. And I see some people have put their hand up. So first, Julie Hammer. You have the floor, Julie.
Thank you, Olivier. Just a quick one. For the Friday XCOM meeting schedule, it's currently down as 9 to 12, and I had a flight that was taking me out at 4:30 p.m., which I thought was pretty good timing. That flight's now been cancelled, and I've had to be rebooked on a 2:30 p.m. flight. So I just thought, I remember that meeting last time I attended went quite a long way over time, so I just don't know whether other people may be pressured with flight times either, so I'd tried to accommodate it, but I've been caught.
Thank you very much. The answer to that, Julie, is that we all to be pressured for this flight problem, and there has been a discussion and an email sent over to Sally Costerton about this. The feedback that we have received is that ICANN will be able to accommodate us so that it doesn't impinge on our ability to be at that meeting. It is 3 hours for an XCOM meeting. It is a little long, but if you can work with Heidi, if she can work something out with you,
Sorry, Olivia, to interrupt. I booked my own flights because David comes with me too, and so I can't change them.
So unfortunately, you will have to miss the end of the meeting, I guess. Either that or you have to have a taxi and everybody waiting for you as you leave the room. and a police motorcycle. Okay, thank you, Julie.
Yeah.
Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, with respect to Julie's last comment, if ICANN is indeed changing the rule that she can now leave on Saturday instead of Friday, at the last moment, they should be willing to pay change fees also, I would hope. But maybe, maybe not. With regard to the Sunday schedule, I thought we had a discussion maybe at ALAC or the earlier XCOM meeting that we're going to try to discuss and put to bed the issue of director selection process.
Isn't this on the Sunday?
I don't see it. Maybe it's there under words that I don't catch. It would require us a moderately large chunk of time, I would think, and all I see is a 10-minute update on rule of procedures. But maybe I'm missing it somewhere.
Alan,
can you help us on this, please?
Yeah, a couple of things. Those schedules right now, I have not updated them except maybe for one or two items. So those agendas, I'm just now starting to do them.
Okay.
So please disregard. I think it said to be changed or to be confirmed. The second point, Alan, I just need to correct you. ICANN has not changed the rules for travel, even on Saturday. Steve Antonoff has made an exception for the Beijing meeting, that if the XCOM need to leave on Saturday, they can.
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking about.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't saying a global ALAC. I was talking about XCOM on the 10D.
I just needed to.
Yeah, sorry, I was talking about in relation to the people on this call.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Heidi, for this. I see still Heidi and Alan with their hands up.
My hand is down.
As is mine.
Okay.
But by the way, Heidi, if I got my Friday paid, I wouldn't be objecting.
Okay. So thanks very much, everyone. Heidi, any more on this agenda item?
No, I think that in the next meeting we'll have a lot more. Sorry, this is Heidi for the record. I think that the next meeting we'll have a lot more to discuss in terms of the agenda.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heidi. And I think that next time with Rinalia with us, we will have a better update on the APRIALO Beijing events as well. I think we might just pass over this and move directly over to the any other business part of this call. And I just wanted to provide you with a quick update on the Finance and Budget Subcommittee call, which took place yesterday. The FBSC met and discussed the progress and process for this year's finance requests. Just to summarize, for those who were not on the call, and I know very few of you were not on the call, to summarize, the SO and AC requests will be made in two stages. There will be some fast-track requests for any events or any funding that we require for things before end of October, early November 2013. And there will be a normal track that will be for anything that happens after November 2013 that you would like to have funding for. There will also be a request by the ALAC for the staging of a summit. And we are working out ways to not impinge our ability to ask for funding for other events additional to the summit, but at the same time, events that will not duplicate what the summit is going to achieve. In other words, a general assembly in a region would duplicate the summit because there would be a general assembly for that region during the summit as well. So the ball has gotten rolling, and what's important now as next steps is that the RALO and leadership, so RALOs and their secretariats will be informed of the new process by the respective members of the FDSC, and we will meet, I think, in the next 2 weeks again to detail the process further and get the ball rolling. And I think that's the whole summary of what's happened. Did I miss anything, Kijani, or others who were on that call?
No. No, Olivier, you said everything.
Thank you. Any other business? And hearing that no one is putting their hands up or shouting out, I thank you all for being on this call. It's been very good, and I was very pleased to have been able to speak to Hong and get some movement on this as well. So with this, the time is 14:38 UTC. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everyone, wherever you are, and see you soon. This call is now adjourned.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good holiday.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.